I'd ask Rufus to sing another song for me, please. And you can do that at this point. Good morning. I greet you this morning in that name that we heard about this morning. I don't know what you're thinking. (Clears throat) But I believe that before I begin, I would like to ask John Grimshaw to come up here and pray. Would you please do that, John? Let's all rise. And we were exhorted at the brothers' meeting. And you know what I'm going to say. And if you have a desire this morning to lift up holy hands, let's do so, because I have a hard message to preach. So let's pray.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day that you've given to us, that we can come and worship you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for saving us. I pray for Brother James that you'd anoint him with your Spirit, that he would bring the words of life to us, that we would have holy hands lifted up
Amen.
To you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Cleanse our hearts, I pray, and that we would receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. You may be seated. Before I go into the message, I would like to read something that I found on the news several months ago. And it didn't leave me. And this morning I would like to read some of it. The title, it caught my attention when I saw it, says, "A Revived Church is America's Only Hope." Brothers and sisters, a revived church is America's only hope. And I'm just going to read a little bit to let you know. And the whole entire article was based upon several of these first verse paragraphs. I'm just going to read them. What happens when a nation loses its conscience? When the light barely shines in the darkness. When truth is obscured with lies. We can answer those questions with another question. What does America look like in 2019? It's not good. But what about the church? We are a nation adrift. I'm not trying to paint a gloomy, doomy picture. Not at all. A nation that is confused. Confused. Somebody mentioned this morning that there's confusion in Haiti. You don't have to go to Haiti to find confusion. Just go to Fort Wayne or go to Grayville. This nation is confused. The nation is in danger of completely losing all morals. In the news, this was written. And it just goes on and on and talks about just that concept. Revival is the only hope. This morning, if you are sitting in this room this morning, and you have never, if you have never given your life to the Lord, if you have never bowed down, if you have never stretched forth your hand pay attention. If you have never stretched forth your hand, pay attention. If you are sitting in this room today and you have done that and you have backslid, pay attention. If you're sitting in this room today and you're struggling with some situation and some matter, pay attention. And I'm going to say, pay close attention. Because we're running out of time. If you think you can just continue and continue to walk around with your hands in your pocket and unconverted and unwilling to submit and unwilling to stretch forth your hand, you are on thin ice in dangerous position. Pay attention. We have a Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lord. And I don't have time to go in all the scriptures there where it talks about where we have a Lord that is walking around about us with a... Yeah, if you could please. I'm going to have some issues here. We have a Lord that is continuously, it says in the scriptures, Isaiah 5:25 says, therefore is his anger, is the anger of the Lord, kindled against the people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills that did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. Have you ever tried for a long period of time just to stand there with his hands stretched out? You get very heavy. But God, that's not so. His hand is still stretched out today, over you. And he's pleading with you. Don't put it off. Is it gonna... I'm not sure how far I'm going to get today. Isaiah 9:17 says, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have any mercy on the fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. But it says, for all this his anger is not turned away. And he is still with outstretched hands. Would you just be willing to stretch forth your hand? And he will restore you. He will. Are you willing today? Isaiah 10:4 says, without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fell under the slain. But it says again, for his anger. For all this, his anger is not turned away, and his hands are still stretched out. Isaiah 65:2 says, I have spread my hands all day, says. Let's think about it for just a moment, that you have a God. You have a God that is today yet. Today, at this moment, with outstretched hands. It says all day. Are you willing? It fell down again. But you saw the picture. Are you willing to stretch forth your hand? By the way, that is the title of the message. Stretch forth your hand. Luke 6. I was going to read most of that chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm going to have to cut some of this short. That chapter is where Jesus and his disciples were in the cornfield. They were plucking corn and they were eating it. And the Pharisees were standing around about and they were criticizing them and they were upset at them. And of course, you know how that scripture goes. This might work better here. I'm going to break in verse 8. But he knew their thoughts, and he knows your thoughts today, by the way. And he knows if you have a withered hand. Are your hands withered today? Are they smitten with sin? He knows that. Brother Dan shared that very clearly, that he knows you from the inside out. And he knew you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. Do we grasp that God today? But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had a withered hand, and said to you with a withered hand, rise up. Are you willing? Are you willing today to rise up? That's the first step, is to rise up. Are you willing? I want you to keep one thing in mind as we go through this. And I'm not going to go to a lot of more of those verses that have this in there. But there are many verses in the Old Covenant that says that we have a God that is standing before over us with outstretched hands all day. All day. And he doesn't get tired. Because he wants you. We get tired. And it's not long, they start to sag down, but not God's. Not God's. Are you willing? to just take a moment, just a moment, and just stretch forth your hand so you can be restored and made whole. And that you can have joy and you can have life and you can have joy and life and you can have it more abundantly. Why wallow around? Why wallow around in darkness, in sin? It's only for a moment that's enjoyable, and maybe not even a moment, just maybe for a second. So today, today, then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Pay a close attention to the next verse. He says, and looking round about upon them all. Try to picture this scene here this morning. He said unto the man, and I say unto you today that have never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I say unto you today, God is saying unto you today, stretch forth your hand. Please, don't put it off. If your hand is withered today, and he did so, and his hand was restored. Hallelujah. Whole as the other. What are we waiting on? Is there too much pride? Maybe you are enjoying your sin. Maybe you are. But I got news for you. I enjoyed my sin too for a lot of years. And I was unwilling to stretch forth my hand. But I had no teaching. I was kind of out on my own. Whose fault was that? It was mine. But you have teaching, my friends. You have teaching. You have been under the sound of the gospel for a lot of years. And you're still sitting there with withered hands. Please, pull them out of the pocket. And if they're both withered, stretch them both forth. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? Well, it is. But so hard. But still so hard. Lord, have mercy on us. What the question I'm going to ask, what is wrong? I don't know as I got the answer. Maybe we. Could this be possible? We, the ones that have been born again, following God, been excited for God. They have sang, we sang songs for God. Maybe we have gone lukewarm. Would that be possible? Maybe we have lost our first love. Maybe we are the problem. Maybe we need to, again, stretch forth our hand. Oh God, help us. Restore us. Bring us back into reality. Bring us back into reality that the time is drawing nigh. Eternity is drawing nigh. Would we agree to that today? I'm not preaching a message to scare you. I would like to preach a message that you would repent. Just simply repent. What's wrong today? As we travel and as we meet people and the lukewarmness and the losing the first love is rampant. To get him to talk about God is almost gone. No, don't. Let's be restored. Let's be revived. If the world is talking about revival, what about us? What about us? Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Are you willing today, if you have never committed your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, are you willing today to just take a little time out of your sinful life and stretch forth your hand? That's your only hope. That's our only hope. Are you willing? Then it says, and then I will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. He says, his hands and his ears and everything about him is concerned about you and me. Everything about God. He has his eyes set on you. Just a little update on Ricky Eby. I don't know, anybody ever hear me talk about Ricky Eby? A very, very sinful man. And he made comments that I'll never try that God you're talking about again. And I would advise you to be quiet about it while you can. But Ricky, today, is a child of God. Ricky came to the end of himself. And after he was a child of God, he made comments like, I would tell him, Ricky, you're going to have to get a job. You're not going to survive. I'll never get a job. He says, the government owes me a living. He's a new babe in Christ, okay? He's not thinking quite right yet. Come as you are. We sang the song this morning, right? And he will cleanse you as you go. Just come as you are. Just as we sang the song. And then he'll cleanse you as time goes on. You just stretch forth your hand. It fell down on the floor again. You got the picture. Just stretch forth your hand and let God deal with you. And he will. And he will. But anyways, about 8 weeks ago, Ricky calls me. He said, James, guess what? He says, I got a job. I said, praise the Lord. He said, yeah, he said, I remember the day I told you I'd never work another day in my life. But he says, I repented of that. And I found a job. That's God that can restore you. But Ricky had to stretch forth his hand. And he told me that he prayed day and night for a job. And he has a track record that is awful. And with a track record like that, I gave up that he would never find a job. But he found a job. And he called me day before yesterday. Now, get concerned, you know. Don't hear nothing from Ricky for about a week and wonder if he's still got a job. He said, yeah, he says, I got my job yet. Plus, I got promoted. Ricky. Is there any Rickies out there today that have never committed their life unto the Lord? I'm not talking about out there beside the outside of these walls. I'm talking about in here. Don't put it off. Do not put it off. Stretch forth your hands. So then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't you want to live with your sins just blotted out? Just blotted out. Why? What's the holdup? It surely can't be that enjoyable. Surely not. Sally talked about this morning, maybe you have a tangled up life and it looks like it's untangable. It's not even possible. I don't agree with you. God is able to untangle anything. 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 It doesn't matter. Give it to Him. And let Him try it. Let Him try it. If you're struggling with a matter in a situation, give it to Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We heard that verse over and over. Amen? But do you believe it? The one that's sitting in here today that never was converted and never gave his life to the Lord, do you believe that verse? That He is able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's able. And He will do just that. And He is waiting with outstretched arms. And He will do just that if you stretch forth your hand. By the way, He'll stretch forth His hand all day, every day, all year long to wait on you. He will. But there comes a time where He will let you go. The Bible says so, that my spirit will not always dwell with man. I don't know if I understand that. But the day is an opportunity. It is yet day, and it is yet now. It's yet now. Would you? Would you be willing? Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." Don't be fooled, my friend. If you're sitting in here and you're living in sin and you think you're going to prosper, no. The answer to that is no. It may seem like that, but it's actually this. It's what it is. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Praise the Lord. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Acts 3:13. 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Covered with the blood of Jesus. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Time for refreshing. Just refreshing. Are you willing? Do you want to? Or have you hardened your heart? Have you hardened your heart so hard that it no longer penetrates? That's a dangerous place to be. Exceedingly dangerous. But God is able. Yet still, because he yet still has his hands, arms stretched out over you. Second Chronicles 32, verse 9, the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you. If you would only return to him. If you would only stretch forth your hand. Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Second Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Do we hear? Do we hear? He's not willing that any of you perish. It grieves his heart that you have not yet, that you have not yet stretched forth your hand. You probably wonder why that I chose to preach this type of message. Because I have a burden. I have a burden, and I see many souls. Many souls that have not yet stretched out their hands in a true way. I've witnessed many souls that proclaim that they have stretched forth their hand and they're lukewarm. And they have lost their first love. And to talk about God and his grace and his mercy and the things of God is just not there. They would rather talk about whatever else. Maybe that's why the unconverted, they don't see that life in us, full of zeal and action for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what? What's the, what? I look and act as good as they do. Lord, help us. We have a fine walk to walk, brothers and sisters, to bring those out of the miry clay and set their feet on the rock. We have a walk to walk. And we have a talk to talk. I'm going to read that verse again. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all..." Notice the word "all" should come to repentance. All, everyone. Would you be willing? Would you be willing today to be part of that all? By the way, there's something that I don't want to get... We sang that song 986 today. I don't know about you all, but I have a little bit, I don't want to call an issue with that song. Don't get me wrong, I love that song. I love it with all my heart. But you know where I'm going? With this, brothers and sisters, you know where I'm going. Not all are going to be there. Who is the all? We need to get this right, brothers and sisters, that those that are sitting in this room that have not surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have not stretched forth their hand, those that have not been restored, that is not for you. Because you're not part of the all. Am I saying something too hard here, brothers? No, it's reality. That song is not for you if you have not went through this process. You're on the outside. And that's where you're going to end up when we all get to heaven. The all is those that have converted, been converted, and have been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that have stretched forth their hand, those that have been restored to a new creature. That's who the all are in that song. That's not you. If you haven't went through this process, that's not you. I can't make that clear enough. It's not you. You're on the outside looking in, singing that song. And it's going to be ever more too late if you want to base your hopes on that. Oh, it says all. All those that come to repentance, that's who they are. That's who it is. Don't be deceived. We sing that song. I have really a problem. We sang that song at a lot of places on my journey. And don't get me wrong, I love the song. But I don't believe that the people grasp who they all are. They think they all just fit in there somehow. And we're just going to slide right in there. It's not going to happen. This has to take place. And by the way, God knows. Daniel read that very clear this morning. That God knows where you're at. Every one of us in this room, He knows exactly where we're at in this matter. He knows if this was real when it happened. He knows if it was lukewarm. He knows if we're just fuzzy about it. He knows it all. I'd say if this was just a fuzzy reaction when it happened, do it again. And make it real. And make it real. From the inside out. Make it real. Matthew 4:17. By the way, Jesus, some of the first words that Jesus Christ preached, what were they? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You think anything of that changed today? No. Repent. Repent. Would you please repent? He's begging, he's pleading with outstretched hands. I know he is. Would you just bow down today? Just bow down. By the way, let me tell you something. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. There's many in here can testify that it's worth it all. Is it easy? Yes, it's easy. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Does that make sense? Make sense, James? Sure it is. Yeah. It's hard and it's easy. Some days. But let's not grow weary in well-doing, brothers. Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify God. So those that have not yet bow down. Those that have not yet stretch forth their hand. That they can see that something happened to you that they want. If they can't see anything different, then what's the matter? What's the use? I live as good a life as that one or this one. Brothers, we have a serious role in life. And do I have it all figured out? No. But I have one thing figured out, that unless you have not yet stretched forth your hand and repented, there is no hope. Them are hard words, brothers and sisters, but isn't that the way it is, Brother John? Huh? There's no hope. Yeah, you're alive. You're getting up in the morning and you're walking around all day long and you're functioning, but there's no hope for you to be part of the all when we all get to heaven. Today is the day, now is the time. Forget about the day. Now is the time. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. It's just that simple. It's not a hard task. Why make it so hard? Why wait so long? Why wait till you're 20? Why wait till you're 19? Why wait till you're 18? Why? I waited till I was 39. Lord, have mercy. I praise God every day for the mercy that He had upon me. But don't wait that long, my friends. Clench your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As many as I love, listen to this verse. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous at it. Make it serious. Make it a serious action in your life. Be zealous. You're wasting your time. You're wasting precious time. Oh, if I think back how many precious moments and hours and days that I have wasted away bringing up my children and mistreating my wife. I can't go there, brothers. But if I think for that a moment, I wasted away so many years. Don't do it. I beg and plead with you today, don't waste another moment. Not another moment. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It'll be worth it all just to repent. And rend your heart and not your garments. He don't want anything else but your heart. That's all he wants. He wants your heart. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger and great kindness. And repenteth him of the evil. I say unto you, Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Ezekiel 18:32, for I have no pleasure in death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God, wherefore turn yourself and live. Ye. Turn. 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 And live. Just turn and live. If you think you're living, you're wrong. You're just alive. That's it. You're just breathing. That's it. But living? No. Try this, and you know what I'm talking about. You'll know. I want to tell you. You will know if it happens. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What's so hard about that? What is repentance? Maybe you don't know what repentance means. I don't know. Yes, you do. You've heard it. Your heart and your hearts is what happened. By the way, repentance, you're walking aimlessly into life, just aimlessly. And you have no idea where you're going, absolutely no idea where you're going, aimlessly. And every sin that bombards you, you just take it in and you just play with it. And when you repent, you turn from that and you walk where God directs your path, where God changes you as you go. Are you willing? Zechariah 1:3 says, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord, and I will turn unto you. You see the two things that happen here? Who has to make the first step? You, the one that has never made the step, has to make the step to turn unto God. Turn ye unto me and I will turn unto you. Turn unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Acts 2, 38 says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 1:23 says, Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. You make the first step, and God will do the rest throughout all eternity. There's more that could be shared, but I think I said enough. What are you waiting on? By the way, you are not promised another breath. Not one more breath. And I don't say this to scare you by any means. But I plead with you today. I plead with you today, if you leave this room and not take this in action, I plead with you, don't go to bed that way. Because we have a God that is hovering over you with outstretched hands, and He is pleading with you. And He is pleading with you all day, every year. But let's just take one step at a time. All day, He's pleading with you. All day. I believe if we would get a glimpse of that God that is standing there today on the throne of God with His hands stretched out over you. If we get one glimpse of that, something would have to change. So may God bless you. I know there was some hard things spoken here today. But I don't want you to leave here and feel condemned. By no means. Take in consideration of what was said. Give God all the glory. Give Him all the honor. But don't put it off. Let's just give it up. Just, may God bless you.